species do not differ from each other in nature, for they are human beings, but they differ in the mode of coming into existence. 5. For one must recognize that the word Greek agenhgo in Greek, with only one Greek and Greek, signifies uncreate, or not having been made, while Greek agenhgo in Greek written with double Greek and Greek means unbegotten. According to the first significance, essence differs from essence, for one essence is uncreate, or Greek agenhgo in Greek, with one Greek and Greek, and another is create, or Greek genhgh Greek. But in the second significance there is no difference between essence and essence. For the first subsistence of all kinds of living creatures is Greek agenhgos Greek, but not Greek agenhgos Greek. For they were created by the Creator, being brought into being by His Word, but they were not begotten, for there was no pre-existing form like themselves from which they might have been born. So then in the first sense of the word, the three absolutely divine subsistences of the Holy Godhead agree. 6. For they exist as one in essence and uncreate. 7. But with the second signification it is quite otherwise. For the Father alone is ingenerate. 8. No other subsistence having given Him being, and the Son alone is generate, for He was begotten of the Father as essence without beginning, and without time, and only the Holy Spirit proceedeth from the Father as essence, not having been generated, but simply proceeding. 9. For this is the doctrine of Holy Scripture. But the nature of the generation and the procession is quite beyond comprehension, and this also it behoves one us to know, that the names fatherhood, sonship, and procession were not applied to the Holy Godhead by us. On the contrary, they were communicated to us by the Godhead, as the divine apostle says, "Wherefore I bow the knee to the Father, from whom is every family in heaven and on earth too." But if we say 3, that the Father is the origin of the Son, and greater than the Son, we do not suggest any precedence in time or superiority in nature of the Father over the Son. 4. For through His agency He made the ages. 5. Or superiority in any other respect save causation, and we mean by this that the Son is begotten of the Father, and not the Father of the Son, and that the Father naturally is the cause of the Son, just as we say in the same way, not that fire proceedeth from light, but rather light from fire. So then, whenever we hear it said that the Father is the origin of the Son, and greater than the Son, let us understand it to mean in respect of causation, and just as we do not say that fire is of one essence and light of another, so we cannot say that the Father is of one essence, and the Son, of another, but both are of one and the same essence. 6. And just as we say that fire has brightness. 7. Through the light proceeding from it, and do not consider the light of the fire as an instrument ministering to the fire, but rather as its natural force, so we say that the Father creates all that He creates through His only begotten Son, not as though the Son were a mere instrument serving 8. The Father as ends, but as His natural and subsistential force. 9. And just as we say both that the fire shines, and again that the light of the fire shines, so all things whatsoever the Father doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. 9a. But whereas light possesses no proper subsistence of its own, distinct from that of the fire, the Son is a perfect subsistence, one, inseparable from the Father as subsistence, as we have shown above. For it is quite impossible to find in creation an image that will illustrate in itself exactly in all details the nature of the Holy Trinity. For how could that which is create and compound, subject to flux and change, circumscribed, formed, and corruptible, clearly show forth the superessential divine essence, unaffected, as it is in any of these ways? Now it is evident that all creation is liable to most of these affections, and all from its very nature is subject to corruption. Likewise we believe also in one Holy Spirit, the Lord and Giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and resteth in the Son, the object of equal adoration and glorification with the Father and Son, since He is co-essential and company eternal to the Spirit of God, direct, authoritative. 3. The fountain of wisdom and life and holiness, God existing and addressed along with Father and Son, uncreate, full, creative, all-ruling, all-affecting, all-powerful, of infinite power, Lord of all creation, and not under any Lord for deifying, not deified. 5. Filling, not filled. Shared in, not sharing. And sanctifying, not sanctified. The intercessor, receiving the supplications of all in all things, like to the Father and Son, proceeding from the Father, and communicated through the Son, and participated in by all creation, through Himself creating, and investing with essence, and sanctifying, and maintaining the universe, having subsistence, existing in its own proper and peculiar subsistence, inseparable and indivisible from Father and Son, and possessing all the qualities that the Father and Son possess, save that of not being begotten or born. For the Father is without, can stand unborn, for he is derived from nothing, but derives from himself his being, nor does he derive a single quality from another. 6. Rather, he is himself the beginning and cause of the existence of all things, in a definite and natural manner. But the Son is derived from the Father, after the manner of generation, and the Holy Spirit likewise is derived from the Father, yet not after the manner of generation, but after that of procession. And we have learned that there is a difference, 7, between generation and procession, but the nature of that difference we in no wise understand. Further, the generation of the Son from the Father, and the procession of the Holy Spirit are simultaneous. All then that the Son and the Spirit have is from the Father, even their very being. 8. And unless the Father is, neither the Son, nor the Spirit is, and unless the Father possesses a certain attribute, neither the Son, nor the Spirit possesses it, and through the Father. 9. That is, because of the Father's existence 1, the Son, and the Spirit exist 2, and through the Father, that is, because of the Father having the qualities, the Son, and the Spirit have all their qualities, those of being unbegotten, and of birth, and of procession being accepted 3. For in these hypostatic or personal properties alone do the three holy subsistences 3 differ from each other, being indivisibly divided not by essence, but by the distinguishing mark of their proper and peculiar subsistence. Further, we say that each of 4, the 3 has a perfect subsistence, that we may understand not one compound perfect nature made up of 3 imperfect elements, but one simple essence, surpassing and preceding perfection, existing in 3 perfect subsistences 5. For all that is composed of imperfect elements must necessarily be compound, but from perfect subsistences no compound can arise. Wherefore we do not speak of the form as from subsistences, but as in subsistences 6. But we speak of those things as imperfect which do not preserve the form of that which is completed out of them, for stone and wood and iron are each perfect in its own nature, but with reference to the building that is completed out of them each is imperfect, for none of them is in itself a house. The subsistences then we say are perfect, that we may not conceive of the divine nature as compound, for compoundness is the beginning of separation. And again we speak of the three subsistences as being in each other 7, that we may not introduce a crowd and multitude of gods 8. Owing to the three subsistences, there is no compoundness or confusion, while, owing to their having the same essence and dwelling in one another, and being the same in will, and energy, and power, and authority, and movement, so to speak, we recognize the indivisibility and the unity of God. For verily there is one God, and his word and spirit, Marg. MS. Concerning the distinction of the three subsistences, and concerning the thing itself and our reason and thought in relation to it, one ought, moreover, to recognize that it is one thing to look at a matter as it is, and another thing to look at it in the light of reason and thought. In the case of all created things, the distinction of the subsistences is observed in actual fact, for in actual fact Peter is seen to be separate from Paul. But the community and connection and unity are apprehended by reason and thought, for it is by the mind that we perceive that Peter and Paul are of the same nature, and have one common nature 9. For both are living creatures, rational and mortal, and both are flesh, endowed with the spirit of reason and understanding 1. It is, then, by reason that this community of nature is observed, for here indeed the subsistences do not exist one within the other, but each privately and individually, that is to say, in itself, stands quite separate, having very many points that divide it from the other, for they are both separated in space, and differ in time, and are divided in thought, and power, and shape, or form, and habit, and temperament, and dignity, and pursuits, and all differentiating properties, but above all, in the fact that they do not dwell in one another, but are separated. Hence it comes that we can speak of 2, 3, or many men, and this may be perceived throughout the whole of creation, but in the case of the holy and superessential and incomprehensible Trinity, far removed from everything, it is quite the reverse, for there the community and unity are observed in fact, through the coeternity of the subsistences, and through their having the same essence and energy and will and concord of mind too, and then being identical in authority and power and goodness, I do not say similar but identical, and then movement by one impulse 3, for there is one essence, one goodness, one power, one will, one energy, one authority, one, and the same, I repeat, not three resembling each other, but the three subsistences have one, and the same movement, for each one of them is related as closely to the other as to itself, that is to say that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one in all respects, save those of not being begotten, of birth, and of procession. But it is by thought that the difference is perceived for we recognize one God but only in the attributes of fatherhood, sonship, and procession, both in respect of cause and effect and perfection of subsistence, that is, manner of existence, do we perceive difference. 5. For with reference to the uncircumscribed deity we cannot speak of separation in space, as we can in our own case, for the subsistences dwell in one another, in no wise confused, but cleaving together, according to the word of the Lord, I am in the Father, and the Father in me. 6. Nor can one admit difference in will or judgment or energy or power, or anything else whatsoever which may produce actual and absolute separation in our case, wherefore we do not speak of three gods, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but rather of one God, the Holy Trinity, the Son and Spirit being referred to one cause. 7. And not compounded or coalesced according to the synaresis of Sabellius, for, as we said, they are made one not so as to commingle, but so as to cleave to each other, and they have their being in each other 8, without any coalescence or commingling. Nor do the Son and the Spirit stand apart, nor are they sundered in essence according to the diaresis of Arius 9. For the Deity is undivided amongst things divided, to put it concisely, and it is just like three suns cleaving to each other without separation, and giving out light mingled and conjoined into one. When, then, we turn our eyes to the divinity, and the first cause, and the sovereignty, and the oneness anti-sameness, so to speak, of the movement and will of the divinity, and the identity in essence and power and energy and lordship, what is seen by us is unity one. But when we look to those things in which the divinity is, or, to put it more accurately, which are the divinity, and those things which are in it through the first cause without time or distinction in glory or separation, that is to say, the subsistences of the Son, and the Spirit, it seems to us a trinity that we adore to. The Father is one Father, and without beginning, that is, without cause, for he is not derived from anything. The Son is one Son, but not without beginning, that is, not without cause, for he is derived from the Father. But if you eliminate the idea of a beginning from time, he is also without beginning, for the Creator of times cannot be subject to time. The Holy Spirit is one Spirit, going forth from the Father, not in the manner of sonship, but of procession, so that neither has the Father lost his property of being unbegotten, because he hath begotten, nor has the Son lost his property of being begotten, because he was begotten of that which was unbegotten, for how could that be so? Nor does the Spirit change, either into the Father, or into the Son, because he hath preceded, and is God. For a property is quite constant, for how could a property persist, if it were variable, movable, and could change into something else? For if the Father is the Son, he is not strictly the Father, for there is strictly one Father, and if the Son is the Father, he is not strictly the Son, for there is strictly one Son, and one Holy Spirit. Further, it should be understood that we do not speak of the Father as derived from any one, but we speak of him as the Father of the Son, and we do not speak of the Son as cause 3, or Father, but we speak of him both as from the Father, and as the Son of the Father, and we speak likewise of the Holy Spirit as from the Father, and call him the Spirit of the Father, and we do not speak of the Spirit as from the Son 4, but yet we call him the Spirit of the Son. For if any one hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his 6, saith the divine apostle, and we confess that he is manifested and imparted to us through the Son. For he breathed upon his disciples, says he, and said, Receive ye the Holy Spirit. 7. It is just the same as in the case of the Son, from which come both the ray and the radiance, for the Son itself is the source of both the ray and the radiance, and it is through the ray that the radiance is imparted to us, and it is the radiance itself by which we are lightened, and in which we participate. Further, we do not speak of the Son, of the Spirit, or of the Son, as derived from the Spirit. 8. Chapter 9. Concerning what is affirmed about God. The Deity is simple and uncompound, but that which is composed of many and different elements is compound. If, then, we should speak of the qualities of being uncreate, and without beginning, and incorporeal and immortal and everlasting and good and creative and so forth as essential differences in the case of God, that which is composed of so many qualities will not be simple, but must be compound. but this is impious in the extreme. Each then of the affirmations about God should be thought of as signifying not what he is in essence, but either something that it is impossible to make plain, or some relation to some of those things which are contrasts, or some of those things that follow the nature or an energy. 9. It appears then, Nina, that the most proper of all the names given to God is He That Is, as He Himself said in answer to Moses on the mountain, "Say to the sons of Israel, He That Is hath sent me one." For He keeps all being in His own embrace too, like a sea of essence infinite and unseen. Or as the holy Dionysius says, "He That Is good 3. For one cannot say of God that He has being in the first place and goodness in the second. The second name of God is Greek, derived from Greek ki and Greek for, to run, because He courses through all things, or from Greek akane Greek, to burn, for God is a fire consuming all evils 5, or from Greek ki sky Greek, because He is all-seeing 6, for nothing can escape Him, and over all He keepeth watch, for He saw all things before they were, holding them timelessly in His thoughts, and each one conformably to His voluntary anti-timeless thought 7, which constitutes predetermination and image and pattern, comes into existence at the predetermined time 8. The first name then conveys the notion of His existence, and of the nature of His existence, while the second contains the idea of energy. Further, the terms without beginning, incorruptible, unbegotten, as also uncreate, incorporeal, unseen, and so forth, explain what He is not, that is to say, they tell us that His being had no beginning, that He is not corruptible, nor created, nor corporeal, nor visible 9. Again, goodness and justice and piety and such like names belong to the nature 1, but do not explain His actual essence. Finally, Lord and King and names of that class indicate relationship with their contrasts, for the name Lord has reference to those over whom the Lord rules, and the name King, to those under kingly authority, and the name Creator, to the creatures, and the name Shepherd, to the sheep He tends. Chapter 10. Concerning Divine Union and Separation. Therefore all these names must be understood as common to Deity as a whole, and as containing the notions of sameness and simplicity and indivisibility and union, while the names Father, Son, and Spirit, and Cause, Less and Caused, and Unbegotten, and Begotten, and Procession contain the idea of separation, for these terms do not explain His essence, but the mutual relationship to, and manner of existence 3. When, then, we have perceived these things, and are conducted from these to the divine essence, we do not apprehend the essence itself, but only the attributes of the essence, just as we have not apprehended the essence of the soul even when we have learnt that it is incorporeal, and without magnitude and form, nor again, the essence of the body, when we know that it is white or black, but only the attributes of the essence. Further, the true doctrine 4, teacheth that the Deity is simple, and has one simple energy, good and energizing in all things, just as the sun S-ray, which warms all things and energizes, in each in harmony with its natural aptitude and receptive power, having obtained this form of energy from God, its maker. But quite distinct is all that pertains to the divine and benignant incarnation of the divine Word. For in that neither the Father nor the Spirit have any part at all, unless so far as regards approval and the working of inexplicable miracles which the God Word, having become man 5, like us, worked as unchangeable God and Son of God 6. Chapter 11. Concerning what is affirmed about God as though He had body. Since we find many terms used symbolically in the Scriptures concerning God which are more applicable to that which has body, we should recognize that it is quite impossible for us men clothed about with this dense covering of flesh to understand or speak of the divine and lofty and immaterial energies of the Godhead, except by the use of images and types and symbols derived from our own life 7. So then all the statements concerning God that imply body are symbols, but have a higher meaning, for the Deity is simple and formless. Hence by God's eyes and eyelids and sight we are to understand His power of overseeing all things and His knowledge that nothing can escape, for in the case of us this sense makes our knowledge more complete and more full of certainty. By God's ears and hearing is meant His readiness to be propitiated and to receive our petitions, for it is the sense that renders us also kind to suppliants, inclining our ear to them more graciously. God's mouth and speech are His means of indicating His will, for it is by the mouth and speech that we make clear the thoughts that are in the heart. God's food and drink are our concurrence to His will, for we, too, satisfy the necessities of our natural appetite through the sense of taste. and God's sense of smell is His appreciation of our thoughts of and goodwill towards Him, for it is through this sense that we appreciate sweet fragrance, and God's countenance is the demonstration and manifestation of Himself through His works, for our manifestation is through the countenance, and God's hands mean the effectual nature of His energy, for it is with our own hands that we accomplish our most useful and valuable work, and His right hand is His aid in prosperity, for it is the right hand that we also use when making anything of beautiful shape, or of great value, or where much strength is required. His handling is His power of accurate discrimination and exaction, even in the minutest and most secret details, for those whom we have handled cannot conceal from us aught within themselves. His feet and walk are His advent and presence, either for the purpose of bringing succor to the needy, or vengeance against enemies, or to perform any other action, for it is by using our feet that we come to arrive at any place. His oath is the unchangeableness of His counsel, for it is by oath that we confirm our compacts with one another. His anger and fury are His hatred of and aversion to all wickedness, for we, too, hate that which is contrary to our mind, and become enraged thereat. His forgetfulness and sleep and slumbering are His delay in taking vengeance on His enemies and the postponement of the accustomed help to His own. And to put it shortly, all the statements made about God that imply body have some hidden meaning and teach us what is above us by means of something familiar to ourselves, with the exception of any statement concerning the bodily sojourn of the God Word. For He for our safety took upon Himself the whole nature of men 9. The thinking spirit, the body, and all the properties of human nature, even the natural and blameless passions. Chapter 12. Concerning the same. The following, then, are the mysteries which we have learned from the holy oracles. As the divine Dionysius the Areopagite said 1 that God is the cause and beginning of all, the essence of all that have essence, the life of the living, the reason of all rational beings, the intellect of all intelligent beings, the recalling and restoring of those who fall away from Him, the renovation and transformation of those that corrupt that which is natural, the holy foundation of those who are tossed in unholiness, the steadfastness of those who have stood firm, the way of those whose course is directed to Him, and the hand stretched forth to guide them upwards. And I shall add, He is also the Father of all His creatures, for God, who brought us into being out of nothing, is in a stricter sense our Father than are our parents, who have derived both being and begetting from Him, to the shepherd of those who follow and are tended by Him, the radiance of those who are enlightened, the initiation of the initiated, the deification of the deified, the peace of those that discord, the simplicity of those who love simplicity, the unity of those who worship unity, of all beginning the beginning, superessential, because above all beginnings, and the good revelation of what is hidden, that is, of the knowledge of Him so far as that is lawful for and attainable by each, further and more accurately concerning divine names, for the Deity being incomprehensible is also assuredly nameless. Therefore, since we know not His essence, let us not seek for a name for His essence. For names are explanations of actual things. 5. But God, who is good, and brought us out of nothing into being that we might share in His goodness, and who gave us the faculty of knowledge, not only did not impart to us His essence, but did not even grant us the knowledge of His essence. For it is impossible for nature to understand fully the supernatural. 6. Moreover, if knowledge is of things that are 7, how can there be knowledge of the superessential? Through His unspeakable goodness, then, it pleased Him to be called by names that we could understand, that we might not be altogether cut off from the nullity of Him, but should have some notion of Him, however vague. Inasmuch, then, as He is incomprehensible, He is also unnameable. But inasmuch as He is the cause of all and contains in Himself the reasons and causes of all that is, He receives names drawn from all that is, even from opposites. For example, He is called light and darkness, water and fire, in order that we may know that these are not of His essence, but that He is superessential and unnameable. But inasmuch as He is the cause of all, He receives names from all His effects. Wherefore, of the divine names, some have a negative signification, and indicate that He is superessential. 8. Such are non-essential. 9. Timeless, without beginning, invisible. Not that God is inferior to anything, or lacking in anything, for all things are His, and have become from Him, and through Him, and endure in Him. 9. But that He is preeminently separated from all that is, for He is not one of the things that are, but over all things. Some again have an affirmative signification, as indicating that He is the cause of all things, for as the cause of all that is, and of all essence, He is called both ends and essence. and as the cause of all reason and wisdom, of the rational and the wise. He is called both reason and rational, and wisdom and wise. Similarly, he is spoken of as intellect and intellectual, life and living, power and powerful, and so on with all the rest. Or rather, those names are most appropriate to him which are derived from what is most precious and most akin to himself. That which is immaterial is more precious and more akin to himself, and that which is material, and the pure than the impure, and the holy than the unholy, for they have greater part in him. So then, sun and light will be more apt names for him, than darkness, and day than night, and life than death, and fire and spirit and water, as having life and earth, and above all, goodness than wickedness, which is just to say, being more than not being. For goodness is existence and the cause of existence, but wickedness is the negation of goodness, that is, of existence. These, then, are the affirmations and the negations, but the sweetest names are a combination of both. For example, the superessential essence, the Godhead, that is more than God, the beginning, that is above beginning, and such like. Further, there are some affirmations about God which have in a preeminent degree the force of denial. For example, darkness, for this does not imply that God is darkness, but that he is not light, but above light. God then is called mind and reason and spirit and wisdom and power, as the cause of these, and as immaterial, and maker of all, and omnipotent 9b. And these names are common to the whole Godhead, whether affirmative or negative, and they are also used of each of the subsistences of the Holy Trinity, in the very same and identical way, and with their full significance one. For when I think of one of the subsistences, I recognize it to be perfect God, and perfect essence, but when I combine, and reckon the three together, I know one perfect God. For the Godhead is not compound, but in three perfect subsistences, one perfect indivisible and uncompound God. And when I think of the relation of the three subsistences to each other, I perceive that the Father is superessential Son, source of goodness, fathomless sea of essence, reason, wisdom, power, light, divinity, the generating and productive source of good hidden in it. He himself then is mind, the depth of reason, begetter of the Word, and through the Word the producer too, of the revealing Spirit. And to put it shortly, the Father has more reason 3, wisdom, power, will 4, save the Son, who is the only power of the Father, the immediate 5, cause of the creation of the universe, as perfect subsistence begotten of perfect subsistence, in a manner known to himself, who is, and is named the Son. And the Holy Spirit is the power of the Father, revealing the hidden mysteries of his divinity, proceeding from the Father, through the Son, in a manner known to himself, but different from that of generation. Wherefore the Holy Spirit is the perfecter of the creation of the universe. All the terms, then, that are appropriate to the Father, as cause, source, begetter, are to be ascribed to the Father alone, while those that are appropriate to the caused, begotten Son, Word, immediate power, will, wisdom, are to be ascribed to the Son, and those that are appropriate to the caused, processional, manifesting, perfecting power, are to be ascribed to the Holy Spirit. The Father is the source and cause of the Son, and the Holy Spirit Father, of the Son alone and producer of the Holy Spirit. The Son is Son, Word, wisdom, power, image, effulgence, impress, of the Father, and derived from the Father. But the Holy Spirit is not the Son, of the Father, but the Spirit, of the Father, as proceeding from the Father. For there is no impulse without Spirit, and we speak also of the Spirit, of the Son, not as through proceeding from him, but as proceeding through him, from the Father, for the Father alone is cause. Chapter 13. Concerning the place of God and that the Deity alone is uncircumscribed. Bodily place is the limit of that which contains, by which that which is contained is contained 6. For example, the air contains but the body is contained 7. But it is not the whole of the containing air which is the place of the contained body, but the limit of the containing air, where it comes into contact with the contained body. And the reason is clearly, because that which contains is not within that which it contains. But there is also mental place, where mind is active, and mental and incorporeal nature exists where mind dwells and energizes, and is contained not in a bodily but in a mental fashion. For it is without form, and so cannot be contained, as a body is, God. Then, being immaterialate and uncircumscribed, has not place, for he is his own place, filling all things, and being above all things, and himself maintaining all things 9. Yet we speak of God having place, and the place of God, where his energy becomes manifest, for he penetrates everything without mixing with it, and imparts to all his energy in proportion to the fitness and receptive power of each, and by this I mean, a purity both natural and voluntary. For the immaterial is purer than the material, and that which is virtuous than that which is linked with vice, wherefore by the place of God is meant that which has a greater share in his energy and grace. For this reason the heaven is his throne, for in it are the angels who do his will, and are always glorifying him. 1. For this is his rest, and the earth is his footstool. 2. For in it he dwelt in the flesh among men. 3. And his sacred flesh has been named the foot of God.